We're back. You're listening to Radio Nation. I'm Laura Flanders. Well, you know all about the Walter Reed Army Medical Center scandal. Here's another one. Joshua Coors is our guest. He wrote in the April 9th issue of The Nation magazine a very important story, how Specialist Town lost his benefits. In the piece, he talked about how thousands of soldiers are at this moment being denied benefits after leaving the military, and in some cases are left owing the military after being discharged because they're discharged on a code that says they have a, you guessed it, personality disorder. Later in the hour, we're going to hear from John Towne, who's been affected by this policy, unwritten though it may be. And we'll hear from Andrew Pogani, an investigator with Veterans for America, who's advocated for many soldiers in John's position. First up, though, Joshua Coors, welcome to the program. Glad to have you.
Good to be here, Laura.
You were on the kind of National Guard beat when you came across this story. How did it begin? How did you wake up or hear for the first time that this particular code was being used so often to such devastating effect?
Well, I was doing a series of profiles of veterans coming back from Iraq. And when I came upon John Towne's story, it simply didn't make sense. He was serving in Ramadi, Iraq, was struck by a rocket while serving there and was honored for his wounds with a Purple Heart. He went largely deaf. But when it came time to discharge him after his wounds became too much to serve, instead of recognizing his wounds and discharging him because of his injuries, they decided he was actually deaf because he had a pre-existing personality disorder. And by discharging him that way, they could deny him disability and medical benefits for the rest of his life.
Now, the obvious question, and you raise it in your book, is how, with a straight face, could these military doctors declare someone to have a personality disorder when they're leaving the military if they were accepted as healthy when they entered?
With a straight face, I'm not sure. You know, all of the soldiers are screened twice before serving in Iraq. Once when they joined the military, and a second time before deployment. I started looking at cases of these personality disorders, and case after case, I found soldiers like John that were perfectly healthy by the Army's own medical records. It's only later when they come back wounded from Iraq that their pre-existing personality disorder is discovered. And Laura, let me say, the importance of John's story is that he's by no means alone.
Well, I was going to ask you about the numbers.
Absolutely. In the last 6 years alone, the military has discharged 22,500 soldiers. And by cheating those veterans out of their disability pay, the Army saves $8 billion in disability and $4.5 billion in medical care.
Talk about the Army specifically for a moment. I think the number that you have in the article is 5,600 for the Army alone.
That's
what kind of injuries are we talking about? What kind of benefits, in effect, are these soldiers being denied?
Sure. Well, that's exactly why it's such a bizarre scandal, because I didn't find a single case in which reasonable men could disagree. These are clear-cut misdiagnoses, and in John's case, deafness being a personality disorder.
I just don't want to hear. I want to go deaf.
In the case of Richard Dykstra, he was suffering from bilateral hernia in his stomach. They decided that was caused by a pre-existing personality disorder. William Wooldridge, suffering from schizophrenic delusions. He had been driving a truck in Iraq when a young girl was pushed in front of his truck. He crushed her and killed her, and later in his Arkansas apartment was haunted by her ghost. She would come back to him at night asking why he had killed her. They decided that that was a pre-existing personality disorder.
Why do the soldiers agree to accept this code, to sign on to this diagnosis?
Well, in most cases, they simply don't know. It's like the small print in your credit card statement. They just don't know what the fallout will be. As you mentioned before about owing the Army money, that's a salt in the wounds for many of these wounded soldiers. One of the provisions of the personality disorder discharge is the soldiers have to give back their signing bonus so that on the day of their discharge, So many of these wounded veterans find out they actually owe the Army several thousand dollars.
So they're being accused, basically, of having signed on false pretenses.
Well, that's another twist in the tale. Every single one of the soldiers I spoke to said they were directly lied to by their military doctors. The doctors are telling them, if you go along with this personality disorder discharge, you'll get medical care, you'll get disability pay, you'll get to keep your bonus.
More importantly, no muss, no fuss, you'll be out of the military.
Yes. It's a 5-day discharge. You get straight out, you get back to your family. It's only on their final day in uniform they find out none of those promises are true.
What's in it for the doctors that are doing the diagnosing? Because as we know, a lot of doctors that treat vets and soldiers returning from Iraq care a lot about their clients.
They do. They do. You know, it's a very good question. What is the motivation of the doctor? Obviously, saving $12.5 billion is a larger concern for the military. I think there's a lot of reasons. First of all, at each of these hospitals, the doctors are simply overrun. They're flooded with wounded soldiers. Nobody expected this war to go on so long and to have so many wounded. When they can get a soldier out the door with personality disorder, that frees up the bed for the 3 or 4 soldiers who are waiting to take it. And there's another element too, and that is the political pressure. I spoke with a few Army lawyers who said that at their bases, the commanders are actually putting pressure on the doctors to purposely misdiagnose the soldiers. They would come to them and say, this is the discharge, this is the diagnosis, let's set it in motion.
The voice you're hearing is that of Joshua Coors. For years, he worked for North California's top-rated news station, KCBS AM in San Francisco. Then he went to work for Knight Ridder's Contra Costa Times, and he ended up working on a story that you're hearing about right now that appeared in the April 9th issue of The Nation magazine. Thanks for Nothing, How Specialist Town Won a Purple Heart and Lost His Benefits. We'll talk with John Town after the break. You're listening to Radio Nation. I'm Laura Flanders. Stay tuned. All right, we're back. I'm Laura Flanders. You're listening to Radio Nation. All you vets out there, all you military families, give us a call, 866-303-2270. Are you familiar with the story we've been hearing about in this hour from our guest Joshua Coors of The Nation magazine about soldiers with, well, every right to benefits being denied them through having been diagnosed with a personality disorder on their discharge? If you are familiar with anything like this happening in your community, or if you've got questions or what you're hearing sounds familiar, give us a call, 866-303-2270. That's 866-303-AAR0. You can also join the bloggers and streamers at www.radionation.org. That's www.radionation.org. And you can email me, forgot to mention, Laura, L-A-U-R-A, at radionation.org. At this time, I'd like to introduce a very special guest, a man who is the subject, in a sense, of Joshua Coors' story. John Town is an Iraq vet, left the military in September of 06, and has received no benefits since because of the classification of his departure. John, welcome to the program. I'm glad to have you.
Thank you for having me.
And tell us a little bit about how your service in Iraq affected your health.
I actually got blown up by a rocket doing a mail run there in Iraq, about 2 feet from my head, and caused pretty severe hearing loss, memory loss, and from my whole experience in Iraq, I still have nightmares and whatnot.
When you left the military, what was the situation of your departure, the condition of your departure? What shape were you in? What were you expecting, and what happened?
I was actually expecting what they had been telling me, that I would get a severance pay, that I would still have medical coverage for the rest of my life, and VA would pick up after I got out with disability, and none of that is actually true. I actually... the day I found out, I owed $3,000 to the Army.
Mm. What did they tell you when you were being discharged, and why did you agree to accept one of these 513 code discharges, which is the one that diagnoses you with a personality disorder?
They actually said it would be quicker and better for the Army and myself so they could fill the slot because my unit was getting ready to deploy, redeploy back to Iraq, and they wanted to fill that slot. So I agreed to it because it was the best thing that could happen for them and me at the time.
Mm. What's happened since?
Pretty much nothing, to be honest.
You've been trying to claim a new discharge code?
Yes. Josh was actually has been helping me out very much, trying to get my discharge returned to what it should have been, a medical board, and he's been working with me strongly to get my disability pay from the VA.
And what happened to the $3,000?
Actually, I got a hold of Congressman Oxley when I got back to Findlay, Ohio, and he got it somewhat fixed. He sent in a request to Capitol Hill. The specifics on it, I'm not sure. I had told him my situation. A person from the Pentagon had called me and said I needed to fill this form and that form out to get my discharged changed. And that was pretty much all he could do for me. And he said, that's that. I'm going to write Congressman Oxley back that this is, you know, I talked to you and this is what you can do to fix your situation. And I then called Congressman Oxley to let him know that I had talked to this gentleman, and he said there was also going to be a check on its way of, I believe, $6,000 was the amount. I'm not sure how they came to the conclusion of $6,000.
Sounds like somebody wanted you off their desk.
Exactly. Is the way me and my family actually took it.
Mm. Joshua Kors, how do you explain what's happened in John's case, and did he ever get the check?
Well, he did get the check, but I think his case reminds us of how these things really get fixed with behind-the-scenes political dealings. In John's case, of course, he got the ultimatum from the Pentagon saying, look, take the money, forget about getting your diagnosis ever fixed.
So the quid pro quo, if you take the money, you got to accept the diagnosis?
Exactly. And in so many of the cases I looked at, that was exactly it. People would reach out to their congressman, and the congressman would direct them one place to another and then turn their back on the soldiers.
Let me introduce somebody else into this conversation. George Andreas Pogani was a member of the National Board of Directors for the National Gulf War Resource Center from May of 05 until September of 06, when he accepted a position as an investigator and outreach coordinator for Veterans for America. Since then, he's been the founder and manager of a Colorado-based mental health services initiative, a pro bono one, Operation Just One, that tries to link veterans and active duty service people with mental health care professionals. And he's still working, of course, with Veterans for America. Andrew, welcome to the program. Glad to have you.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
And tell us a little bit about what you're hearing from vets across the country and active duty folks with respect to this Code 513 personality disorder discharge.
Well, it's exactly what both Josh and John said. First of all, before I get into that, I wanted to publicly acknowledge John for his service in Iraq, and I wanted to thank him for his honorable service to his country. And on behalf of myself and our organization, I'd like to apologize to you for what you're having to go through.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice to hear those words from somebody
now,
in the administration?
Back to your question, what we're hearing is exactly that. It's the disturbing news, and we're seeing it in medical record after medical record, that soldiers who are coming back from Iraq that have had no previous mental health concerns or issues, that they're being diagnosed with personality disorders instead of receiving a diagnosis of post-traumatic stress disorder.
Have you approached any of the doctors who've given this 513 personality disorder discharge?
I personally actually have. I have approached, for example, the same doctor that diagnosed Jonathan or John with the personality disorder in reference to a separate case I was working on. because the soldier came to us and asked us to, you know, help him out because he doesn't quite understand why he's being told he has a personality disorder. And then back in October of 2006, I went to the doctor with the soldier himself, and we flat out asked him, or I flat out asked him questions in reference to this diagnosis and in reference to, you know, how he feels that, you know, the soldier has a personality disorder. And Dr. Wexler flat out stated to me that the soldier doesn't have a personality disorder, but he rather has a, he is exhibiting personality traits. But it's an easier diagnosis, and it's easier to get him out on a Chapter 5-13, if, in fact, that is what the soldier wants. And there shouldn't be any concern because he can just go to the VA and get, you know, get treatment there, which is, you know, I, at that point I tried to explain to Dr. Wexler that that is inaccurate. It is also wrong to diagnose him with a personality disorder when he, in fact, doesn't have one. And the regulations are very clear on when and how a personality disorder should be diagnosed. And the DSM-4, which is the Diagnostic Manual for Mental Health Mental Illnesses, or
is pretty,
you know, is also very specific.
Is pretty specific. John, what are your complaints? What are your symptoms?
I average from anywhere from 2 to 4 hours of sleep a night, and that's when I do get sleep. I have headaches all day, every day. I'll take Motrin and Advil to try to relieve the headache, and if I take enough, it'll numb it for, you know, an hour or two, but it comes right back.
And your hearing?
My hearing, if I'm not looking at the person's mouth, I pretty much don't understand what they're saying.
You have this phone up pretty loud then, I guess.
Yes, very loud. And that's...
can I just interject something real quick?
Andrew.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm looking at another soldier's medical records right now. There's an entry into his record, again, by Dr. Wexler, and it says chief complaint medical complaint, chief complaint is memory complaints after mild concussion. And then the doctor writes under personality disorder.
Mm.
It
makes no sense. Listen, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We'll take some calls. And I believe that Joshua, who wrote the piece that we're talking about in the Nation magazine, Thanks for Nothing, is going to tell us about some of the follow-up that he's done to this reporting, including talking with the Army Surgeon General. 866-303-2270 is the number to call. We will take your calls and continue this conversation right after the break. We're back. You're listening to Radio Nation. I'm Laura Flanders. We're talking about a new ruse the military seem to have come up with to deny wounded service people their rightfully deserved benefits by coding them out at their discharge with a code that determines or defines them as having a personality disorder. You name it, scratched retina, brain injury, all sorts of injuries are being wished away by this military, and soldiers are accepting the diagnosis when they know about it because, well, they're promised that it'll be a quick discharge, no muss, no fuss, and they'll be served their health benefits. They'll be served by the Veterans Administration when that's not the case. We're talking with the reporter who brought this story to the nation's attention, Joshua Coors. He wrote a piece in the April 9th issue of The Nation magazine. The Nation, I should say, helped to make this program possible. It's not too late to sign up for a subscription and be able to view this story in full online. We're also talking with one of the outreach coordinators at Veterans for America, who's done a lot of the field work on this work, Andrew Pogani, who had been in the military himself before his discharge. With us, too, is John Towne, Iraq vet, left the military in September 06, has no benefits because he was classified this way. What's happened since the story appeared? Joshua Coors, first to you.
Well, one of the things that's most surprised me in the wake of the publication is just how aggressive the military's been in trying to cover it all up. Just the other day, I received communication from the acting Surgeon General, Gail Pollack, saying that John's case, which was presented to her office, along with a stack of others, were thoroughly and thoughtfully evaluated, and that they decided all of those diagnoses were correct. Well, it didn't take much more research to find out what a thorough and thoughtfully evaluated case meant to Ms. Pollock. Turns out she didn't call a single soldier that she had thoroughly evaluated. What they did do was they brought the cases back to the doctors at Fort Carson, Colorado, where John is from, and asked them whether they thought they got it right the first time. The doctors looked at their own diagnoses, said, yep, we did it right.
It's always good to investigate yourself.
Yes, and to the Surgeon General's office, that's what constituted a thorough and complete diagnosis.
What about response from readers, people writing to you in the wake of this article? What have you learned from them?
I've been flooded with emails from people saying, my goodness, this happened to me, happened to a member of my family. He was also wounded. He was also prevented from ever receiving disability or medical benefits. I even received a particularly interesting communication from a prominent physician with military ties, saying at the bases he worked at, there were always a set group of doctors they knew they could count on to diagnose personality disorder, regardless of the details of the case.
Let's take a call. We've got George on the line in Portland, Oregon. Hi, George.
Hey, Dom. Am I still on?
You're on now.
Okay, yeah, I just got a little interference. I'm on a cell phone. I kind of know a little bit of what the VA angle is on all this. Basically, when a soldier gets out, if they file a compensation claim with the VA, the soldier can provide evidence from, like, a private psychologist showing a diagnosis of PTSD or a depression or something like that when they just get out. The VA will have to consider that evidence in making a decision, at least for the compensation from the VA.
Let me ask Andrew whether that's the case. Andrew Pogani, is that the true as far as you understand it? Thanks for the call, George.
Well, it is quite possible. I don't have the exact details on exactly what the VA is doing because my realm of expertise is not necessarily in the VA. I deal mostly with the DOD side. But what I wanted to say, too, is in follow-up with Josh said, is that unfortunately, I had actually personally briefed Major General Pollock, the now acting U.S. Army Surgeon General, on Jonathan Towne's case in the fall of 06. It has taken them over 4 months to come back with an answer to us also, and the answer that came back to us also is that they had thoroughly and thoughtfully reviewed his case, yet they had never even contacted us in reference to what we think is wrong with this case.
John Towne, did anybody ever call you?
No, ma'am.
All right, let's take another call. Victor's on the line driving through Michigan. Thank you for that, Andrew. Victor, welcome to the program.
Laura.
Yes.
Yeah, I got to talk to you. These corrupt doctors that are in the VA and making all these crummy diagnoses, is there anything that can be done to take away their licenses?
Is there, and if not, why not? What do you think, Joshua? Thanks for the call, Victor.
Well, there is a movement to organize some of these soldiers to get them to complain, to strip these doctors of these licenses. I'm not a legal expert, but it does seem this is a gross violation of the Hippocratic Oath. I received an interesting phone call just yesterday from a lawyer in Nevada who was seeking personality disorder discharged soldiers in her state to file legal action against these doctors. I don't know what's going to happen on those grounds.
Andrew, what do you think? Is there, what kind of recourse is out there for somebody perhaps listening that this is up to them?
There are two recourses. First, the soldier and the families should not take this lying down. They should, just like Josh said, they should contact the licensing authorities of every single one of these doctors and file complaints for misdiagnosis, and then let the licensing authority decide the merits of the case. The second one is that both the soldier, the family, and the public at large should demand accountability, because what we're seeing is that this is a gross violation of Army regulation, of DOD regulation, and them not following the DSM-IV. The Army regulation 635-200 Chapter 5-13 is very specific, where it says that the exceptions to the personality disorder diagnosis are combat exhaustion and other acute situational maladjustments. Mm. So my question is, how is it possible that a soldier like Jonathan, who just came back, who was blown up by an RPG, who is showing signs and symptoms associated with traumatic brain injuries, and we know that traumatic brain injuries, when they go untreated, they bring with them personality changes, because that's the way soldiers or people in general cope with them. There's a guy named Dr. John Briere.
We're running out of time. I want to give John the last word, Joshua. John, you've got about 20 seconds. Advice to people who might be in your same situation. How do you kind of hang on?
Just stick with it, and everything will work itself out. They just need to contact people and, like they said, make their voices heard.
Mm. All right, well, there is room for you to give a last word. Joshua Kors.
I think the real reaction has to come from the president. He went to Walter Reed and said, we're going to be there for the soldiers, but he hasn't even acknowledged this scandal.
Joshua Kors is our guest. Thank you so much, all of you. Joshua Kors, Andrew Pogani, John Towne. Good luck to you, John, and thank you for your service.